Let's remain standing. Let's hear together from God's Word. Our reading, our first reading comes from the book of Genesis, from Genesis chapter 1, and then we'll be in Exodus chapter 20. Genesis 1, the very last verse, and then continuing into the second chapter, Genesis 1:31. God saw all that He had made, and it was very good. And it was evening, and it was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. And by the seventh day, God had finished the work He had been doing. So on the seventh day, He rested from all His work. Then God blessed the seventh day, and He made it holy, because on it He rested from all the work of creating that He had done. And then from Exodus 20, in the Ten Commandments, beginning at verse 8, the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But He rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Let's pause there and pray. Oh, good and gracious God, we know that we cannot live by human nourishment, by bread alone. We live by every word that comes to us from Your mouth. So open today our ears, our minds, and our hearts that we could receive and live in Your living Word, who is Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. In 1972, when David built his first store, his initial plan was to close on Sundays so that his employees and their families, as well as his customers, could take a day off. But he got scared. A direct competitor vowed to put him out of business. And one of his tactics was to be to operate 7 days a week. So to match his competition, David opened his stores on Sundays. And as the years went by, his business thrived and expanded. He gave money generously to the church and to charities, but his conscience continued to bother him. He knew he was supporting his church, but he felt like he might be doing it in a way that was working against the church, literally. He knew that for many of his employees, Sunday may be the only time in the week when he could get to church, when they could get to church or spend time with their children. We've all heard this saying, the customer is always right. David tried to operate in that way, in that sound business advice, but something else was working on his conscience. He continued to hear a voice that would whisper to him and say, am I not more important even than your customers? So 2 decades, 20 years after he began his business, David looked at the numbers. Hour for hour, Sunday, believe it, hour for hour, Sunday had become his most profitable day of the week. He was selling $100 million in merchandise every year just on Sundays. And yet the voice would not be stilled. David prayed, and he took the plunge. He decided to close his stores permanently on Sundays. And David Green said, that's when our business really took off in the Hobby Lobby chain. Our series is called Just 10. We're looking at the 10 commandments. Remember, observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. This commandment feels like the odd man out. It doesn't know quite where to be. Between the first three commandments, which will be our last three since we're going backwards through them from 10 to 1. Those first three commandments, they're just about God. And the last six commandments are just about the ways we interact with one another. So it's the odd man out. It's also the odd man out because, and again, as I'm working backwards, it may be the only commandment Excuse me. It may be the only commandment I've preached on so far that I could stand up and say I have a regular habit of breaking without you wanting to talk to our board about my role as your pastor. I mean, think about it. If I hedged and said, well, telling the truth, that there's some options on that. Adultery, let's not even talk about that, right? Is there really a place in the Ten Commandments for partial obedience? Partial obedience, like delayed obedience, isn't really obedience at all, is it? Partial obedience, like delayed obedience, isn't really obedience at all. And you know, we all know how hard it is. We can make some urgent exceptions for medical personnel, emergency workers, security. We can make those kind of exceptions and they make sense. But this just doesn't seem like a practical commandment, does it? Especially in a world where, as British evangelist J. John says it this way, he says, we live in a world where we worship at our work, we work at our play, and we play at our worship. We live in a world where we worship at our work, we work at our play, and we play at our worship. Is that too harsh? I don't think it is. Friends, there's not a condemnation of work in the Bible. Let me be clear about that up front. There's not a condemnation of work. In fact, the value of work is at the heart of the invitation to observe Sabbath, to keep rest. Because you can't rest until you have worked. Well, unless you're Adam and Eve, y'all think about that. They were created on the sixth day and they woke up the next day and God said, isn't it time for a day off? How about that? They didn't have to earn the PTO, you know, percentage of days. They got it all right up front, one day. We begin this commandment, y'all, not just reading from the Ten Commandments from Exodus, but we begin with this commandment from Genesis, from the beginning, the chapter where we first observe God's work of creating, and we recognize the goodness of work, because the goodness of work is to be invited by God to participate with Him in all that He has done and is doing and continues to do in the world. Our invitation to work is to work alongside God. Think about this. Some of your work involves communicating. Right? God from the beginning communicates. He speaks a word and actions follow. Communication sometimes is at the essence of our work. Our work is to care and to protect others. Our work is to exercise creativity and intelligence. Our work is to maintain and order the world around us. Our work is to teach with truth and to pursue justice and right relationships among others. All of those things. That's only a few of the things that God does. And it's only a few of the things that He invites us to do alongside Him. So recognize this. Your work is blessed. Your work is part of the way that you live out your discipleship. Part of the way that you act like Jesus, that you act like the Lord God who made you. You join Him in His creative work in the world. But if we're going to join Him in His work, let's also join Him in the other things He does, like rest. Hear that again from Genesis? By the seventh day, the Lord had finished the work He had been doing. And so on the seventh day, He rested from all of His work. If God rests, let's rest with Him and not pull against Him. Let's be honest, though. We live in a world. Let's think about the reality of the Sabbath. The reality of rest in the Bible and beyond the Bible. I mean, we can talk about this because we know that there have been times when the approach to Sabbath, the approach to rest, has really been shaped by what we would call legalism, right? Lots of rules and laws and regulations about what you can and cannot do. By the time that Jesus walked on the earth in the first century, scholars from the Old Testament, scholars had identified 1,521 specific things that were forbidden on the Sabbath. Talk about an eye for detail, right? All the things you cannot do on the Sabbath. There were commentaries, the Jerusalem Talmud, or Jewish commentary. The Jewish commentary from Jerusalem had 64 pages of commentary about what you could and couldn't do on the Sabbath. And the Babylonian Talmud had 156 pages of what you could and could not do. It was so specific. Here's one example. It was permissible to dip, if you were eating on the Sabbath, it was permissible to dip your radish in salt. But if you left it too long, you were considered to be making pickles. So it was a sin. So you're going to dip make the radish really quick, in and out, right? If you're going to salt it, you were making pickles. You were working. Even in Christian territories, even in the Christian world, you know, many of us have been alive long enough to remember, what did we call it? Blue laws, right? On Sundays, certain types of commerce and business that was forbidden. There's a report from 17th century Scotland that a man was arrested for smiling too broadly on the Sabbath. Sometimes we've thought that the Sabbath meant you can't enjoy God's creation. You had to sort of be somber and solemn, but not so. I think, though, we're past this era of legalism, and we're probably in a place of excessive liberty when it comes to the Sabbath. When we think about business or commerce or sports, really other than Hobby Lobby and the Lord's Chicken, Chick-fil-A, right? We know them because they're the exceptions to the rule. They're the exceptions to the rule. And so they stand out and call attention to what has become our rule, that everything and anything goes on Sunday like on any other day of the week. When the Bible calls us to rest on the Sabbath, we're not called to live in excess liberty. We're not called to live in excess legalism. But we're called to rest. And it's not the rest, y'all, it's not the rest that most of us think about when we think about rest. It's not the rest of exhaustion. Have you felt the rest of exhaustion? You know, that's not really rest. I'll tell you a little bit. You know, my week pattern is a little bit different from yours, because Sunday is sort of like Friday. It's the end of the day. It's the peak of the week, and it's the first day of the week all mashed up into one, okay? So when I have to try to be creative when I think about Sabbath and rest. I've tried to take Monday off, but y'all, I'll tell you, I'm just too tired on Monday after Sunday. I'm too tired to rest well, and so I do other work. I do light administrative. I start reading and studying, preparing to preach. I'll try to catch up on emails, but I still have a hundred and something unread that I have to follow up on, so I'm sorry if that's one of you. I'm working on it. I do things I can do. I'll do some visiting and pastoral care. But I tell you what I don't do on Sundays, on Mondays, I try not to do major planning. And I try not to make major decisions for life or for ministry on Mondays, because I know there's just a limit. There's just a limit to my energy, and I need to rest in the Lord. When the Bible calls us to rest on the Sabbath, He's not calling us to the rest of exhaustion. He's calling us to the rest of joy, to the rest of fulfillment, of knowing, you know, God had done 6 days of creation. Was everything done? Yes, but no. He had simply started things going. So friends, if God could find joy and fulfillment in setting things going, don't you think after 5 or 6 days, don't you think we could find enough joy and fulfillment? If God felt like it was okay for Him to step away just for a moment, do you think the world or your work or maybe your family is going to collapse if you pause just long enough to catch your breath? And maybe that's actually what we need to know, is that the world will keep spinning if we take our hands off. If we create a little distance, maybe that's what we're in danger of finding out about ourselves, that the world doesn't need us as bad as we need the world to need us. Maybe that's what God's trying to teach us in the Sabbath. We can't find that joy or fulfillment because we're still trying to build our own fulfillment and find our own identity, create something that will imitate joy in our work and in ourselves, in our own strength. And I think that's why the Sabbath, in a unique way for the commandments, the Sabbath keeps us. If we find a way to keep the Sabbath, we'll find that the Sabbath is actually holding us, preserving us, and giving us strength for the future. Consider this story. A busy executive on vacation at the beach, walking, talking on his cell phone, connecting, making sure everything's going well at home. He comes up on a man beside a boat resting in the shade. The vacationer says, "Sir, why aren't you working? It's the middle of the day." "Well, I've already been out," he said, "in my boat. I've caught some fish, came back to town, sold the fish. I'm resting here for a minute. I'll have lunch with my friends and then go pick my kids up from school and go home and spend the rest of the evening with my wife." The visitor said, why aren't you going out again? If you went out one more time, you could catch more fish. There's time for you to go out two more times today, and you could get more fish. Why would I need more fish? Well, you sell more fish, you can buy a bigger boat. Do that for a little while. You can buy two boats, a whole fleet of boats, maybe even build your own fish cannery. Sell it all, have enough money to come and lay here in the shade by the beach every afternoon. The fisherman scratched his head and said, "Isn't that what I'm doing right now?" You understand that, right? You understand that, right? Do we keep the Sabbath? Do we give the Sabbath a chance to keep us? Here are a couple of practical ways for us to think about the Sabbath as ways to think about keeping the Sabbath. One, we see the Sabbath as resistance. We see the Sabbath as resistance. Sometimes we know how to fight best when we know who the enemy is or who the adversary is. And when I say the Sabbath is resistance, that may sound political, but if you think about the emergence of the Ten Commandments, it literally is political. All right, Israel, for their collective memory, they had been slaves, they had been servants. They had not been in control of their working life or their resting life. All they knew was 7 days of work, work, work. You remember those last days were even more intense, where they were supposed to make bricks, but they weren't going to be given straw. The quota stayed high. The supply of resources was low. The work was literally soul-crushing and body-crushing. So just like Israel, we need to remember that we're not defined by the work we do. Friends, for Israel here in Exodus chapter 20, Egypt was still close by. Not just geographically close by, but Egypt was still in their hearts. Right? They thought of themselves as slaves of one master, and God is trying to tell you, look, I am a different kind of master. What did Jesus say? "Come to me, all you who labor, who work, and are heavy laden on the verge of exhaustion, and I will give you more to do." That's not what Jesus said. "I will give you rest. I will give you rest." Friend, we know this. We know that time matters. This is about time. Friend, the whole 7 day a week thing, the idea of the 7 day week, that is biblical revelation. That doesn't come out of observing the sun and the moon and the seasons. Nobody else had 7 day weeks with this pattern of rest apart from the Scriptures. This is God's reminding us that time matters. And time, you may not believe it, you may perceive time differently, but time is the same for every one of us. Young or old, rich or poor, male or female, anywhere, Christian or seeker. You don't even have to be a Christian to be bound by time, right? Time is time, and you can't save it, really. You can't store it up. You can't sell it, and you can't buy it. You just have to use it. And using it wisely and using it well so that it forms us in resistance to the world and in collaboration with God is so essential. See the Sabbath as resistance. See the Sabbath as rest. We choose rest when we live by priorities and not by pressures. We choose rest when we live by priorities and not by pressures. Someone has said we can burn the candle at both ends, but end up not too bright at all because we've burnt too far. Rest is for our physical body. Rest is for our emotions, our psychological self. There has to be space. There has to be space for God to work and to reform us as His children. There has to be space. Maybe this isn't an appropriate Sunday morning story, but guys, you know this. You walk into a public restroom and there's this sort of rule about space. Right? You know, everything's lined up on the wall. And if a guy's in there ahead of you, where do you not want to go? Right next to him, right? Now, that's not that there's an unwritten rule, right? You want space. If they're over here, you get the far other, or you at least skip one, right? You at least skip one. Y'all, it's true. It's true. Rest is the creation of space between us and all of our obligations, all of the things that would flood our attention. And knowing where to build appropriate boundaries. One more bathroom story. Patty and I were traveling to Texas for a worship conference a few weeks ago. And we had an early morning flight back home. And Patty had gone into the women's bathroom. And there at the sink in the women's bathroom was a young woman FaceTiming her boyfriend. FaceTiming, video calling, in the restroom. Space. Space. You may not have FaceTimed in the restroom, but you know what I mean, right? You can't escape sometimes. Rest is the creation of space where we can truly connect with the people we need to be connected to and ultimately connect with God. Last thing, Sabbath is worship. Sabbath is worship. We know, right? We cut off one day of worship to signify that all the week belongs to God. We set apart one, at least I hope you do. You set apart one part of your day. The morning is ideal. Set apart the morning so you know your whole day belongs to God. Jesus said it best, the Sabbath is made for people and not people for the Sabbath. When the Lord says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, He offers it to you as a gift, right? What do you do with a gift? You don't take a gift and set it on the mantle and just look at it every now and then. You unwrap a gift, you try it on. If it's clothes, you wear it, you learn to use it, and ultimately you love it. Treat Sabbath as a gift. Treat Sabbath as a gift. And not only will you keep the Sabbath, but the Sabbath then will keep you. It's not an accident, friends, that in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, the writer of that message, that sermon, that letter said that the people of God in Jesus have a Sabbath rest. There's a reminder that you can't earn your way to heaven. You can't earn your way into right relationship with God, even with the best of your intentions and actions. But salvation comes to us as a gift of grace, a gift of God's peace, offered to us without cost, without cost to us, only at the cost of the life and the death of Jesus. But through His resurrection, He offers you a chance to live at rest. To live in a Sabbath that will extend from now until heaven when you know that you're striving, not your effort, not your desire to live truly and correctly and in line with God's Word, but your striving can cease. Because you know you're at peace in relationship with God. Maybe this is the day that you will choose Sabbath as a pattern for the rest of your life. And maybe this is a day, if you haven't already, that you'll choose that ultimate Sabbath rest. That ultimate peace of being in right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I want us to pray again through that psalm we started with, Psalm 46, verse 10. So close your eyes, and if you will, bow your heads. Psalm 46 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know that I am. Be still and know that I be still and know that be still and know be still and be still be still.